Let's speak to Fintan O'Toole this morning, who's columnist for the Irish Times. Fintan, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Fintan, Jim Allister, focusing on paragraph 49 of this agreement, and he is suggesting that this wording means that it would be Northern Ireland needing, in the absence of agreed solutions, to maintain full alignment with the customs union, while the rest of the UK would not necessarily be required to do so. Do you read the same or not?
No, I mean, essentially that's a very, very odd reading of the document, because paragraph 50, which is referring to, of course, follows paragraph 49. So, I mean, the mathematics of this are actually pretty simple, right? Let's just think about it in mathematical terms. If A equals B and C equals B, then A equals C, right? So A here is the Republic of Ireland, which stays in the European Union. So Northern Ireland is going to have to mirror exactly full alignment. It's going to have to mirror exactly the regulations of the customs union and the single market. And then, and this is where Jim is right, the rest of the UK is going to have to mirror the circumstances in Northern Ireland, because otherwise you would have these barriers to trade between Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK. So effectively, this is why this is a startling document. It actually uses the Irish circumstance to really effect a kind of coup against a hard Brexit. So, you know, in a way, if you were to, maybe it would be giving her too much credit, but, you know, if Theresa May were a very Machiavellian politician, you would say what she's actually managed to do is to smuggle across the Irish border a soft Brexit. Because what you're getting here is if you have full alignment, effectively Northern Ireland, you can call it what you like. You know, it might not be called saying in customs union and single market, but if you have to mirror every single regulation, full alignment, it means you're effectively in the customs union.
Well, I was putting these precise points to Theresa Villiers today, who is known to be a hard Brexiteer, and she was saying no, precisely what you've just said, Fintan. She was saying no because there is a elasticity in the wording.
It was a very
There really isn't. I'm sorry, there isn't elasticity in the wording. I mean, let's just go back to the wording. In the absence of agreed solutions, the United Kingdom will maintain full alignment with those rules of the internal market and the customs union, which now or in the future support North-South cooperation, the all-island economy, right? The all-island economy and the protection of the 1998 agreement. So full alignment with the rules of the internal market and the customs union, that is startlingly clear. It's much clearer than the language that we thought was there on Monday, which the DUP were going crazy about. I mean, what we were talking about on Monday was a sort of, we thought it was going to be a vague phrase about regulatory alignment. This is much, much more specific, much harder. And remember, there's a key phrase here. It says now or in the future. So what this means is that the regulations in Northern Ireland in the future will have to change when the European Union changes its regulations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this raises really fundamental questions about why bother doing Brexit. You know, I mean, it really does, because if then the rest of the UK is in turn going to have to mirror what's happening in Northern Ireland, it really takes off the table all of this idea of that the hard Brexiteers, their fantasy was that they were going to have a clean break from Europe, they were going to sail off into the great blue yonder, and they were going to do all these fabulous new trade deals with the rest of the world. You cannot square that with this text. So the only options now are really a sort of crazy coup where the hard Brexiteers tried to get rid of Theresa May, tried to get all of this undone and walk away from the table, or they have to accept this, which effectively points them, you know, you can use whatever language you like, but it points them towards staying in the customs
even,
and in the single market.
Even, Fintan, if your interpretation is on the money, we still, after Brexit, would have full control of the movement of people, wouldn't we? Of our borders.
However... that's qualified in relation to Ireland, of course, because there's also a very strong commitment to the single common travel area. Now, this exists already, and it shouldn't be hugely problematic. Yes, I mean, there will be, the capacity will be there. However, this then raises all sorts of other questions, right? So is the European Union going to say, yes, you can have the single market, yes, you can have the customs union, but you can opt out of some of the things that are absolutely crucial to the single market. That's going to be where the huge dispute's going to be in the second phase of the talks. But remember, what's now happened is that this has preempted the second phase of those talks. So Britain is now, whatever language we want to use, but it's effectively tied in to seeking to stay in the customs union and the single market. And that's going to have huge implications for the conduct of those talks themselves.
So what essentially Claire Fintan is saying is that if you take a point any time in the future when the EU changes their rules, this agreement signs up to we would be forced to change our rules too.
Well, you see, you say that and you start from the premise that we would be forced, that it would be a bad thing. Yes, I think what and I agree with everything Fintan said. He just articulated in a better fashion what I was trying to say to you as well.
But does that not go against democracy and the Brexit vote? Surely people voted for Brexit so that they weren't tied in to what the European Union wanted to do.
Well, it's talking about Brexit as it applies to Northern Ireland and the Good Friday Agreement and the island of Ireland. And, of course, people here did not vote for Brexit. So it's entirely consistent democratically. Britain can have its Brexit if it wants. It can deliver Brexit. But this has just established some parameters with which Brexit must comply. I think it allows people to fulfil the democratic wishes of Britain to Brexit. But it states firmly, as we've been asking Europe and Britain to do, and it has put Britain in a position where it finally has to admit that it has to do that the Good Friday Agreement has primacy.
Derek and Antrim. Morning, Derek. Hello, Derek.
Well, it was until I heard what was on this programme.
What was? Sorry, what do you mean?
Well, this is a complete sellout. And somebody has waved the white flag and surrendered. And that's basically it. We voted out. And that was it. We didn't vote half in.
Fintan O'Toole, some people have been looking at Arlene Foster as a strong leader who stood up to Theresa May. Is that your reading of this?
Derek Fintan. There were two things Arlene Foster was trying to achieve, and they were mutually incompatible. One was that there would be no divergence at all between Northern Ireland and the UK, the rest of the UK. And the other was that there would be no special status for Northern Ireland. Sorry, that's the first one, that there would be no special status for Northern Ireland. And the other one was that Northern Ireland and the UK would be leaving the customs union and the single market, right? Now, they were actually incompatible, right? So there was no way you were going to get both of those. And she made a huge mistake in trying to go for both. What she should have been saying is, if you don't want any difference between Northern Ireland and the UK, then that means the UK has to stay in the customs union, because you can't have no hard border if you're not effectively still in the customs union. So she made a big mistake there, and she's actually been forced to retreat in an enormous way on it.
We've got to leave it there.
Nevertheless, there is a logic to the situation that's emerged.
Fintan and Claire, thank you.